anchor.fm.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. Radioland. I am Eldridge Cleaver, the former Minister of Information of the Black Panther Party. You are listening to KBOO Portland. This is listener-sponsored, non-commercial community radio. I want you to listen to and support KBOO because Portland needs it, you need it, and the world needs it. Ubalagani! Boing, boing.
Well, good morning. This is Pierre Fargrang. The show is Fight the Empire. And today's topic has been in so much in the news lately. We're going to talk about it some more. This whole thing about the poisoning of Sergei Skripal and his daughter in England. British Prime Minister Theresa May didn't take long in her speech to Parliament. She went from saying it was, quote, highly likely that the Russians did it, but then she went leaving some doubt, leaving the question still open. By the end of her speech, the Russians certainly did it, and they were going to be punished for it. So the Russians asked to see the evidence of the accusation, and they were not allowed to. So... we can take the time to ask a few questions. One question that sort of came to mind right away for me was if Sergei Skripal, we should go into who he was. He was a Russian intelligence officer, I believe, under the Soviets and then under Yeltsin. And for a long time, he was a double agent. He was turning over the names of Russian overseas spies to the Brits. And then he was caught and, he was tried and he was put in prison. And he was, to most countries, if you turn over... it's happened here where somebody has named CIA spies abroad. This is considered treason by our authorities, by our government, because that puts their lives in danger. One good case was years ago was Philip Agee, who was a former CIA person who left the agency, I believe, and he went to live in Cuba. But... So the question is, if Sergei Skripal was a traitor endangering the lives of Russian intelligence agents, why, when he was found guilty in a Russian court, did he only get 18 years in prison? That seems kind of a pretty modest punishment for a person who is considered a traitor. In this country, he might have been executed or he might be serving a life term. I did talk to Ray McGovern, a retired CIA analyst. He says that actually in Russia, 18 years is considered a pretty long sentence. But anyway, so Skripal, was branded a traitor, got what... A lot of us would consider a fairly modest prison sentence. And then, even before he served his term, he was pardoned and swapped for Russian spies who were in this country. And then he went to live in England. So it would seem to me that the Russians kind of washed their hands of him. And we might ask why did they sentence this guy to a modest prison term and then pardon him to go live abroad, then why would the Russians, years later, get their revenge and poison him in a particularly horrible way? So keep that question in mind. We may get back to it. According to Theresa May, she sort of said the Russians, there were sort of two possibilities as far as this poisonous nerve agent goes. The Russians either did it or else somehow they, quote, lost control of this nerve agent, Novichok. Actually, it's Novichok is more than one chemical. It's a whole bunch of different chemicals. And from what I've been able to find out, the ingredients are not rare. They're fairly common ingredients. They're not even banned. But the way they are put together in a sophisticated way makes it that you can't just do this in your kitchen. You need a laboratory to take these common ingredients and create this deadly nerve agent out of it. So according to Theresa May, the Russians either did it themselves or else they lost control of the nerve agent, because this Novichok was developed in Russia about 30 years ago. They created it, but since then, it's something that any other nations, perhaps even wealthy terrorists, could put together themselves. The other option that Theresa May said was that the Russians had was that somebody replicated, or that when you say that the Russians lost control of it, well, that would sort of indicate that either it was smuggled out of Russia or somehow it was replicated. Somebody else created this nerve agent themselves. So the fact that it was developed by Russia, 30 years ago, does not really count for very much. One person was reading said that it's like if you get run over by a BMW, you don't blame the German government for creating that car. And the fact that a poison is developed by a country, one person the British developed this nerve agent VX, and this was the poison that was used to kill Kim Jong-un's half-brother in Malaysia a couple of years ago. Well, you don't blame the Brits for that. It looks pretty clear that it was the Koreans, North Koreans did that. And so also Russia destroyed their last chemical weapons back in 2017. And this is, they did this under supervision by the UN body, the OPCW, I believe it's the initials. So the Russians destroyed their nerve agent, and so presumably they don't have it anymore. The U.S. Is still working on it. An agreement was made to destroy these chemical weapons, and the Russians fulfilled their end of the bargain. The U.S. is still destroying its nerve agents. I think that their deadline is 2020. So these formulas are no secret. In fact, the formula has even been published. It's out there in public domain. If you have the lab and you get those components, you too can create your own nerve agent, which is kind of a horrible thing to think about. Another interesting question, and this was asked by a British former intelligence agent Annie Michonne, and She asks, okay, Sergei Skripal was freed from Russian prison, and he's allowed to come to England, where he lived in Salisbury for the last, I guess, 8 years or so. What was he doing all that time? According to Annie Michon, anytime somebody is in Skripal's case, and she used the term "rinse cleaned," in other words, the Russians would sort of interrogate this guy thoroughly to see what information he might still have, and then before they ever let him go, and then when he went to the UK. They would do the same thing to see what information he might have that they might want to find out about. So here Skripal was, quote, rinsed clean twice by Russia and the UK, and then he was living in Salisbury. He was, which very interesting is Salisbury is not too far from Porton Down, which is where the British developed VX. And so he lived in this town. He also, by some odd coincidence, the person, the British spy who recruited him, a fellow named Pablo Miller, also lived in Salisbury. And so according to a Russian exile named Valery Morozov, he was on British TV Channel 4, and he claimed that Skripal was still working in cybersecurity and that he was in monthly contact with Russian embassy intelligence officers. So this is another question that has been raised, and maybe we'll find out some answers. But we do have a caller on the line. Bruce is on the line. Good morning, Bruce. You're on the air.
Morning, Pear. Maybe it's good to remember the Russians. They're the ones that people may remember liberated Auschwitz. And maybe they consider, the Democratic Party considers that Paul Robeson going over there talking about racial injustice in the Soviet Union was also the Russians interfering in our politics. And they, you know, the State Department took away his passport so he could shut up.
That's true. That's
so
true.
We're really not in a position to... the Russians about interference. And thanks for taking my call.
Well, that's a whole other topic, you know, the Russian so-called interference. It's interference is trying to think back now just what the charges were. One charge was that the Russians got hold of DNC, from the DNC, material damaging to Hillary Clinton and the Democratic Party. And our government claims that the Russians hacked into the DNC files. Well, a person named William Binney, who was with the NSA for many years, a whistleblower, he says... according to the time it would take to hack this material, the Russians could not have done it from abroad. In other words, you can tell how long it took to get this material downloaded, and it could not have been hacked, that it had to have been downloaded on site, and you know, in other words, into some kind of a thumb drive. Which was so the conclusion that Binney came to was that somebody within the Democratic National Committee, somebody within the Democratic Party, was able to download this information onto a thumb drive and then pass it on to WikiLeaks, which publicized it. And we might consider here that this material was not false. It was true stuff. It was copies of Hillary Clinton's speeches to Wall Street insiders and a lot of stuff about how the Democrats kind of sabotaged Bernie Sanders' campaign. So that's part of this this interference claim. The other part has to do with Russian trolls getting onto our social media and sort of injecting a lot of stupid comments and true statements, all sorts of stuff, into our sort of political discourse on the social media, in a very minor way. But some people claim that it had a huge effect. So I don't know. That's something you'd argue about. But I don't see it myself. Some of this material, I think they were able to put some weird commercial or little video of Jesus arm wrestling with Satan. And this, I don't know. Jesus arm wrestling with Satan does not seem to me like a very thing that would change many people's minds. But maybe I overestimate the intelligence of the American voter. I don't know. If you want to add to this discussion, give us a call, 503-231-8187. So getting back to what another interesting bit of information that came up, and this was in the London Sun, which is kind of a tabloid paper. And they have a story just yesterday or today that Sergei Skripal was not the real target. It was his daughter, Yulia. If you recall that they were both poisoned, they both are in intensive care in a hospital. And the Russian spy's niece, Victoria Skripal, claims that Yulia was a real target because she was engaged to some guy. She was visiting from Moscow where she lives, and Victoria claims that Yulia was a real target because she was engaged to a young Russian guy, and the Russian guy's mother was outraged that her son would marry a person she thought of as a traitor. But now we do have somebody else on the line. So Ken is on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Pierre. I just want to point out that in terms of exposing our agents overseas as an act of treason, there was the Plamgate, remember?
Oh, yes. All right, yes.
Okay, so whoever exposed her as a CIA agent, there must have been our agents overseas that got rolled up as a consequence of that, and nobody paid anything for that price.
Well, let's tell our listeners exactly what that happened. Valerie Plame, who actually I interviewed her on KABU a few years back. She wrote a spy novel. It was very interesting.
Anyway,
she was a CIA person in, I think, Niger.
And her husband exposed the fact that when we said that that the Russians were importing yellow cake from Niger, her husband exposed that as a falsehood.
Right.
But the other thing I'd like to point out is that because Hillary Clinton used a insecure computer, and anybody could hack her transmissions, that is very likely also that some American agents got rolled up as a consequence of that. The last thing I'd like to mention is that in terms of the poisoning people, that the anthrax that was delivered to some congresspeople, Pat Leahy, and I've forgotten who the other person
was. From North Dakota, Tom Daschle?
That anthrax has a specific chemical signature different from all other anthrax that's manufactured, and it was traced to a weapons lab in the United States.
Yes.
So anyway, that's for the last thing for your listeners, if they look up Nafiz Ahmed, who's a who has a lengthy piece on this exposure, and that the Novichok could be identified chemically, and the Russians have every right to demand that Theresa May produce either what evidence they have to go through, you know, expelling the agent, so on and so forth.
I got an article by him right here, which I was going to get to. The headline is, the UK government is manufacturing its nerve agent case for action on Russia.
Yeah, great. Yes. Well, thanks very much for taking my call. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you. Do we have another caller? Jack is on the line. Morning, Jack.
Yes, the interesting thing about this Russiagate is, and I think you may have pointed this out a week or two ago, that most of the so-called fake news that was generated by the so-called troll farms cites mainstream media, U.S. mainstream media sources, basically just connecting the dots that the mainstream media fails to connect. They're citing the Washington Post. They're citing the New York Times. Interestingly, when a compilation of these citations was put together, Russia Today, which is dismissed in the mainstream media and by many on the left in the U.S. as well for being propaganda arm of the of Putin. Was 19th on the list as the most frequently cited source making this so-called fake news. And the fake news meme just continues to roll on without question, even with your colleagues there, in particular the fellows on Tuesday. It's just amazing, the willingness to not look into this issue critically and objectively. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate your continuation with this trend. Okay.
Well, I'd like to put in a little good word for RT. I mean, I watch it every night. I get it on. I go on the internet and get it. And they have some very interesting programs. They have some, well, they have Tom Hartman does a show on RT and some other American people.
Chris Hedges, too.
And they also have an interesting show called Crosstalk, which is, I watched that last night, and that's
Peter Lavelle is Peter Lavelle is really impressive in terms of his bringing different voices and just letting them have at it. He's great.
Well, that's where I heard saw Annie Michon talk about, asked the question, what was Sergei Skripal doing in England these last 8 years? And it's also, they have some good interview shows. There's a woman named Sophie Shevardnadze who does interviews, and another woman named Oksana Boyko, who does interesting interviews. So it was worth checking out. Just go online, click RT, and they have a web page with all a bunch of news stories, and they have their different shows which you can plug into. So it's very interesting stuff on there.
Yeah, and one more an analyst I would recommend to your listeners, James Corbett. Does the Corbett Report, and he is he's quite good in compiling data and putting it together in a very effective way with almost no hyperbole. It's just right, very straightforward. He did a really good 5-minute compilation on this issue, this Russiagate issue, and by his estimation, it's pretty bizarre what's going on.
Well, I think
it feels like another McCarthy era type.
Oh, definitely,
a lot of
hysteria. But I would should. You know, there's a lot of information which you can get online, and I think it'd be a shame for educated people to limit themselves, say, to the New York Times and the Washington Post, because there's a lot of good information out there. It just takes a little digging to find it out. And I was going to say, this article by Nafiz Ahmed sort of asks a very interesting question: where is this whole thing going? And I don't have time to go into it right now, but I'll just say it's leading towards some kind of bigger confrontation with Russia, which the what we call the deep state has been itching to do for years and years and years, and they are taking advantage of this. But we got another caller online. Boris on the air. Good morning, Boris. Hello, Boris. Are you there?
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Yeah, I just wanted to sincerely thank you for bringing once again to the attention of KBOO listeners the outright unethical, if not criminal, behavior that was revealed in those emails. Mainstream media and most left, so-called left-wing media, which is becoming a joke, that term anymore, refuses or just conveniently ignores what was contained in those emails. And Ray McGovern, I've heard him just rail on this fact more than once, that, you know, nobody denies that that's what was going on, and it would certainly lead to a possible explanation of someone within the Democratic leadership, or at least in Hillary Clinton's campaign, becoming so disgusted with what was revealed in those emails that they just downloaded it and leaked it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a very likely possibility, but I want to thank you for bringing that to the attention of KBOO listeners, because unfortunately, I am finding reason to be unhappy with some of the programming on KBOO these days. It's just a rehash of what you can hear on any of the mainstream media, and you and Teresa and a few others are, you know, the reason that I still listen to KBOO, because it is really the state of affairs in this country now is, it would be laughable if it wasn't so sad.
Well, I think a lot of people are so freaked out by Donald Trump that they're willing to kind of think that somehow the CIA and other agencies are going to rescue us from Donald Trump. And I think this is a huge mistake. So anyway, thank you for that comment. I mean, it's I think a lot of people, Donald Trump is like a, when you have a two-party system, which is what we've got, you inevitably get into a lesser of two evils choice for voters. And for a long time, it's been, you know, the lesser of two evils has not been that bad or not, you know, but it's like with Donald Trump has sort of upped the ante a lot. Donald, you know, when the lesser of two evils is like, who is the worst boogeyman? Who is the one you want to avoid the most? Well, Donald Trump has kind of raised the level considerably. This guy is so gross and unspeakable that people are just freaked out by him, and they are willing to think, well, if the only ones who can save us from Trump is the CIA, well, so be it. It's a sad state of affairs. Do we have any more callers on the line? No, I guess we don't. So I guess it's time to wrap this up. Sergei Skripal case is not going to go away. We can keep asking questions, and we may even get a few answers, because a lot of information is out there. In fact, getting back to the DNC leak, it's known to some people who the leaker was, and I think eventually it'll come out. But we just have to keep digging, and don't be satisfied with what the New York Times and the Washington Post tell you, because those two newspapers are really kind of itching for war. They are part of this. Have you ever wondered why no matter who we elect president, we always seem to be involved in a war? It's like we have a two-party system, but the war party always seems to come out on top. And so thank you for listening, and we'll be back in 2 weeks. Stay tuned for KBOO. It's your radio station.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of PDX Short Docs, Sunday, March 18th at 7 p.m. at the Mission Theater in Portland. PDX Short Docs is a two-hour screening of Portland-related short documentaries produced by local independent filmmakers, including Mackenzie Blake, Outside the Frame, Sika Stanton, Donovan Smith, and more. The screening will be followed by an audience Q&A session. Again, that's the PDX Short Docs, Sunday, March 16th at